10 o'clock, let's go ahead and call the meeting to order. Roll call. Dennis Warden.
Here.
Dave Matthews.
Here.
Carrie Grow.
Here.
Dan Hudson is here, and my understanding that Cameron Duncan is at a doctor's appointment, but will arrive at some point in time this morning.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go ahead and move forward.
I suggest we finish with the hiring handbook, then move on to the updated respiratory plan.
Could we hold just a second? I gotta try to figure out how to mute this. Shouldn't be that hard to mute a phone, right?
Anybody dialed in yet?
Just me.
Okay.
But I wanted to dial in. I wanted to do this last time. Shit, how the hell do you mute the friggin' phone call? Phone controls. Microphone. Shit.
Is it Apple or Android?
Apple.
Oh, I have no clue then.
Maybe if I just... Oh, well. Let's go ahead.
Okay, where are you on this? Because I want to keep up on this. So, this is a hiring handbook?
Correct. Page 20.
Oh, okay.
This is where we stopped last time. So, I suggest we finish with the hiring handbook, then move on to the respiratory plan updates that... I received feedback from the OSHA guy, so there were some changes that needed to be done in there, and then move on to the operations sections. Does that all sound okay? So, we ended here under B last time under training and orientation. So I'm going to just go back a little bit and. So we went over sections, the appointment procedure, all the various forms, and requirements that an applicant needs to pass, including backgrounds. And this is for volunteers or paid staff, volunteer firefighters, not necessarily volunteers such as a handyman or non-firefighting volunteer. Although I suggest we do have non-volunteer or non-firefighter volunteers go through a background as well.
No. Oh. That's us.
Oh, okay.
That's me.
Okay.
If indeed that position is going to have access to anything that... So it should be kind of based on access on what kind of requirements we make of non-firefighting volunteers. If we're going to let them be in here all the time and have access to the room... We should probably know who they are.
Yes.
If they're just simply coming over for an afternoon and help painting, who cares?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's that, what are they doing kind of instead of just volunteer? All right. So training orientation. So again, this is stuff for primarily Nate at this point, but hiring supervisor goes over these different topics with the new, this is after the person has been hired. So this is just orientation, training, information that they should be going over with a new employee. Sitting down, and there's a checklist, and they can check off, yeah, we did this, we talked about that. Pretty much all this, all the details of these are covered, would be covered in policy. Some of it's procedure, but it's basic stuff. Under things they needed to know, under I, safety program and orientation and PowerPoint. So I gave Nate a PowerPoint, a safety PowerPoint for new employees, something I used in state parks. It just goes over, if you have an injury, report it to your boss. When you bend over, pick up a box, bend your knees. I mean, basic right. Stuff, just generic, but good stuff that then when the employee has an injury and there's some kind of workers' comp investigation, well,
did you train them?
Yes. So, all right. Then performance evaluation process. I mean, this is the way, quote unquote, it should be done, right? Employees should be evaluated on a regular basis in any regular business. So this is a process to do that. It's pretty simple, straightforward. My guess is it hasn't been used for in this operation very much or anything like this, but I don't know. This is just a guideline on how that can happen. For corrective counseling or corrective interview, I know Nate has recently experienced this with the guy that did some damage or whatever. So this, again, is a way to do that. It's essentially a process. And gives examples of corrective counseling memo. It goes in the file. You did X, you can't do X again. Make sure you don't do X by Y date. If by Y date you haven't done X, then we pull the memo out of your file. Again, it's
nice. Just it's clear.
It's yeah, and just basic business employee relation kind of stuff. Separating employees without fault. So because we're an at-will organization, he can let people go essentially anytime for anything. So that makes it a little bit easier, but there are some steps that he should take. I keep referring to the chief. in the process, even though it can be done relatively easy, it still should be documented properly and filed. So if there's any pushback later on, it can be reviewed pretty easily. Termination. Again, that's just a sample letter. If we need actually to do a service, this I can probably remove. This is more for that's the state stuff. So that one I can pull out of there.
Yep.
All right. Then we go into, so this is job injuries are included in this handbook, because even though it's in new hiring, they should know how to do this, and it's just an easy place to keep it all together. So okay. For job injuries, reporting injuries, proper prevention, like we talked about with the safety orientation, equipment analysis, this goes into the safety committee as well. But minor injuries, they should be reported to their supervisor, because a little injury can turn into a big injury later on.
Right. Like the example there, tick bites. Because around here we get a tick bite like I did.
Right.
And it's fatal. And it
doesn't clearly seem not.
Like you're looking well, you're looking fatal, pretty good.
Fatal if not treated.
Gotta talk to that tick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a form. It's a report of minor injury. It's just a little half sheet. I think it's at the bottom of the page. Basically says, I cut my finger while fighting blah.
Yeah.
It goes in the file. 6 months later, that finger needs to be amputated because it was infected.
Right.
There's some history and documentation.
The report. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Communicable disease stuff, same kind of thing. Be able to report it. And there's a communicable disease protocol for the county. So Nate's up on that. Then we move into medical attention, where we have to report stuff to the insurance company, our workers' comp. And that's what this explains. And an abbreviated version of this was given to Nate way back a few months ago, when I first started looking into this and developing it. So he has this now, and will tell his employees what to do, because part of the OSHA investigation or looking into things was, do we have what they call an OSHA 300 form, which is a list of injuries of the last year. Mm-hmm. And it's posted, but it's only posted for 3 months. And it's kind of a goofy rule, but we were in compliance on that because we looked at it. So that's what this, all the verbiage here basically talks about, what it needs to be done, when it needs to be done, et cetera. After an injury, light duty or full duty, because that's up to the chief to determine in consultation with a doctor, but it talks about that. Fatal or serious injuries, there's some contacts that have to be made in the event of major injuries, which certainly could happen on the job, this particular job. So that's important. And that might fall back to the president or the vice president or board member to help out making some of these contacts in the event of a death, or what if it's Nate, oops. And then there's a checklist. So should print this out, make it fairly simple on what needs to be done. It's pretty straightforward. If you haven't noticed, I like checklists.
Nothing wrong with
checklists. No, checklists are
good. Good.
And there's some reporting requirements.
And the phone numbers, have you verified the phone numbers?
Yes, that's okay. All current. You even have a fax still.
Yeah.
So there's some within 8-hour reporting requirements, some within 24. And then, that talks about the medical records. And then I got rid of some of the exhibits. I think I got rid of that.
That one I was going to work
on. Yeah, you're working on that one. So I got rid of these exhibits, actually. But I'll show you. It's a report of, report of minor injury. Pretty basic. All right. That's the end of the hiring handbook. Questions, comments?
No, good, good.
All right. So, respiratory plan. All right. So some of the changes that were made, and these were based on Tim Copley, I think his last name is, the OSHA inspector, based on his recommendation. So instead of even asking why, I just added or deleted stuff as he suggested. Mm-hmm. It just seemed to make sense. It wasn't anything really substantive. But one of the things is, so we were talking primarily about the SCBAs as respirators, right?
Right.
N95 masks are a respirator now. OSHA determined that, declared that, whatever, a few years ago. So an employee who is required to utilize an N95 mask has to go through the same steps as an employee that uses an SCBA. There's no cleaning and maintenance of the mask, that end of it.
Yeah.
The fit testing is different, but it has to be done. The medical evaluation has to be done. So I was talking to Nate, and we don't currently require any employee to wear an N95 mask. There are some on some of the vehicles that if they choose to do it. So at this point, it's kind of a gray area. So he suggested we're not making a policy, so let's not have that as part of this at this time.
Okay.
So there isn't anything in here regarding those other, shouldn't be anything in here. But I did include medical responders in the language in here because we have both firefighters and medical responders. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the safety stuff, still situational awareness, that kind of thing is relevant to all participants. So let's see, we went through this. Didn't change much there. In the fit testing, we had talked about this, and this was Tim, said, essentially, just because they're fit tested with this mask doesn't mean they're assigned that mask.
Right.
And they don't have to be assigned a mask. We were talking about that last time. The goal is to eventually get them to everyone to have their own, but it's in here that it's not necessarily going to be that one. Under program elements added, and this is information for the employees, so they're informed about this stuff, how to wear it, what's important in the program itself. So it's just more kind of definitions really than anything. Under structural firefighting, he suggested, because we talked about we're not asking our firefighters to go into buildings as a practice. But it may happen, but we're not asking them to. So this first paragraph is basically saying that. It's not our intent to send to prepare for initial attack, but in the event that something happens, they should be wearing the proper apparatus. Mm-hmm. But it's, I guess there in the fire world, there's some differences between being a department that is planning to do interior attack and ones that say, no, we don't, but we might end up. So the higher requirements on the ones that actually, yes, planning. We're here, we're going in, right. That's our job. That's a different level, that's not us. Again, the ones in red are some things that he suggested to add. Even though We said vehicle fires, almost all the time you'd wear a mask or a SCBA. He said, unless otherwise directed, because there might be some that you don't. So he didn't want that to be too narrow. Change the definition under hazardous material zones, but pretty innocuous, really.
Yeah.
Confined space. So added that the defined space policy, which is, we'll go over in the operation section, it's addressed here of what it is, how we define what confined space is, because we don't want our staff going into confined space, but they have to know what it is before they know not to go in.
Yeah.
So some of the green is what I added and then removed. So that's why there's multiple colors there. The medical evaluation has to do what we talked about, going over the doctor sheets. Mm-hmm. Nate and I met with him last week.
Good.
He said, yep, no problem. But he wants the employee to bring the questionnaire with them, and he does a physical examination. Whereas the rule says that doesn't have to happen. Mm-hmm. It's fill it out, send it to him, and then if he wants to see him, he says, nope, I want to see him. So we'll be on the hook for that initial $110, $120 evaluation to get everyone through.
Is that going to be yearly?
No,
or is
that's
that
not
just pre-employment.
Well, not even for us. It'll be pre-employment if they're going to be using SCBAs.
Okay.
Right. It can wait for a little while before that. They're during their training to do it. Doesn't have to actually be pre-employment because they can do other stuff.
Mm-hmm. But just prior to engaging in activities that would require SCBA.
Yeah, even training with.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then it's then only as either the employee or the district thinks that they may need to get reevaluated because of some event that happened. You know, mm-hmm. they started smoking or they had a smoke inhalation thing. Something that comes up that they having trouble with the respiratory, then we can have them sent again for reevaluation. But it's not an annual test.
Okay.
So that was really good news. He said he's been doing this for a long time. And I said, well, here's the questions. He said, oh, that's not even that many. Okay, great. It's 5 pages. But so I don't know if you had met him. It's the first time I met him.
No,
kind of
I've heard of him.
I've gone to him before.
Been around the block guy.
Emergency.
And, yeah. Yeah. So I think that's going to work out pretty well.
He's not a doctor. He's a
nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
MP or
a PA.
PA.
PA. He's a PA. No, he's a nurse practitioner. Family nurse practitioner.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
FNP. Okay.
But they call them doc sheets, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah,
as in doc.
Yeah. Everybody else.
It's like
does.
A coroner
yeah.
is called doc yeah. or whatever. And just real nice. And he does make appointments. So it'll be when uh-huh. you send someone over there, they'll have to go and wait to do their thing.
Let the minutes reflect that 10:18 Cameron Duncan has arrived for me.
Got that down.
Looking along with Harry.
With her own coffee and not enough for everybody, just for the record.
Yeah, just, yeah, specifically. Yeah.
So changed a few of the verbiage, took respirator. Out just the SBCA,
yeah.
made it more generic for respirator.
Yeah, good.
So stuff that's all blanked out here. This was going to be about more N95 stuff that I put in, but then... So that's why that's
okay.
deleted. Talks about going to the clinic and
having the form with you because yeah. that's what he wants.
Yeah. Blah, 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 blah. All right, medical examination. We have the document, the form, has a number and everything, and that will be given to the employee. They go over to them, they fill it out. And one of the keys is helping the it's a little weird. We're required to help an employee fill out the form if they can't figure it out for themselves. Which begs the question,
yeah.
right? Why are we?
why are you okay?
But remember, this is a industry standard.
Right.
So this is for folks working in strawberry fields or industrial settings. I mean, that's where the general rule comes from, not just for firefighters.
Right.
But if someone has trouble doing it, we can't just say, "Oh, you have trouble doing it." We're not going to. We have to help. But you can't look at what they're writing either. So that makes it even. More challenging, but I don't think we'll have that kind of problem. Fit test. So Nate mentioned last time about the fit testing with the SCBA mask and not having a training mask because
adapter.
Yeah. Yes. And
he was going to talk to District 1.
Right, and Tim told me something about that, and he said the manufacturer should be providing it.
Yeah, so, but the manufacturer told Nate they don't have it.
I know, so that's where. So I realize that, but yeah. And he does this. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time, so maybe he knows a different question to ask. I don't know, but we'll figure it out. So that's fit testing. Again, just changed SCBA to respirator, a little more generic. Training respirator wearers, it's the same. Basically, this is talking about during the training what they should be doing, what the expectations of the training are. And this is just pulled right out of the code. And then respirator use. When it's going to be used. And here we are focusing on the SCBAs because that's what we have. This is the same paragraph that was listed above under structural firefighting. Essentially, it's not our intent to do it. Yep. But if indeed that it happens, that's what you need to do. So this was one addition about when we get our bottles of oxygen refilled, we have to certify that those were filled properly by a certifiably okay facility. Mm-hmm. So we have to get, because we're doing it somewhere else, we have to have a copy of their certificate that says they're good in our file.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's just like, we get ours through Norco, right?
I think sometimes I thought they got filled in District 1.
Oh, okay.
But wherever we get it, we just have, or multiple places, we just have to have a copy of their certification, whether that's annually or every 3 years,
right,
that they've passed whatever it is that authorizes them to do it. Otherwise, they look at it like, well, where'd you get this air? How do we know it's good air? Because air. Seems reasonable. And so, Cammie, before you walked in, this is the respiratory plan with the updates from Tim, the OSHA guy. So we already looked at this.
And do you have that piece of mail? Nate said there's a piece of mail from OSHA here for you.
There's a pile of mail there, so I'm not sure.
Okay, he said the final OSHA thing is
right from him. Yeah. So this is just adding a few different things and some definitions. And then he also recommended, and that's where this is in red here, that we have a regular testing schedule for our equipment. And because a manufacturer does the testing, you have to plan that months in advance. He said, have it written when you're going to do it, so that it's done the same time every year. I said, okay. So I wrote it in. Basically, October, November is when they need, the chief or whomever needs to get hold of the technician, and then have it done in December, because that's when it was just done, so that'd be on our annual basis.
Perfect.
But he wanted it, strongly suggested having it in a written
format.
So, yeah. Stored, none of that change. Programming, record keeping, just a couple little things he wanted added. Air quality records, that's the certification.
Sure, from that.
And provide copies of staff as needed. And then CFR, Code of Federal Regulations, 1910, this is the federal regulation that requires to do everything above.
Plus 30 years.
So this is about medical retention records.
Yeah.
And so .1020D1I are the requirements for maintaining records. And yeah, there's some 30-year stuff in there.
Wow.
The 30-year stuff is all medical, though, relating, or...
This is, shall we reserve?
Medical record.
Yeah, medical record. And then it talks about which ones don't have to be retained. Health insurance claims maintain. First aid records don't have to be. And I'll be honest, I didn't read over this in a lot of detail. But there's because
exposure records 30 years.
Yeah. So that's if our employee gets into a situation that they're exposed by the definition of whatever exposure is, that we have to maintain those so they can come back and sue or get compensation or whatever for whatever. So any analysis?
30.
So that kind of brings up a question in my mind. Let's just, because, I mean, the department has gone away and come back, Is there some place that those records can be sent if something should happen to the fire department and we need to maintain those records?
No
repository.
I don't think they take into account
issues
like ours.
Yeah, you think about it. You think about Weyerhaeuser, right?
Right.
That they put them in their file. It sits in a room, and you know. So these rules are written probably more for the big boys.
Well, sure.
Goofy stuff, but not unless we set something up with some kind of repository.
Okay.
There isn't anything that I'm aware of that you can bank
for records keeping.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't know for 30 years. State might have.
It brings to mind to stay into regulation that we should have some kind of cheat sheet posted in this office for what records need to be kept for how long, because I imagine there's different years for all different, whether
yes.
it's personnel, training, medical, there needs to be some kind of...
Agreed. So in the public record section of the personnel or management section, it talks about public records retention.
Mm-hmm.
And there are state archive, so this is federal, right?
Okay.
Then there's state archive requirements for more of our everyday stuff. But that's as many pages as this thing. So it's one of those.
That's why I was thinking a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
Trying to sort through this stuff.
It's
a,
every time.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be
time,
a headache.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Crazy.
You know?
Cheat sheet.
Yeah. That's good.
And I think, too, this should be part of the a new board member folder or binder.
Records retained.
Oh, we should
give, they should be that on other public records, say audio meeting minutes, not get deleted.
Yeah. So I'll work on that. That's a pain, but I'll maybe work on it.
Did you ever get a response from Ms. Friend regarding, what was it, the July minutes that
they were
missing?
Deleted.
We haven't, that wasn't sent. That was a...
it was a draft, but it doesn't matter because she turned in the phone, but she deleted the record.
Okay.
Although I would...
I just
suggest that we still reach out and request
that.
Request
okay.
us.
Well,
can't hurt.
Okay.
And we can talk offline if we want to.
Thank you.
All right. So, let's see. So this is a new policy. This is under proposed policy under personnel section, attendance and participation, paid and volunteer staff. So kind of just gives a little direction about what we expect of our employees and what we want them to do and essentially not to do. So there's probably areas we can delete or add or get rid of altogether, which is fine. So I know you all reviewed this before, so it's probably just
sitting there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I was doing it when I was 8 degrees. I had to do something. So
yeah.
Sitting out in the 8 degree temperature.
Well, you're welcome for
stuff.
Warming you up. That's
so when I went to stand underneath my heat source, I was very intent on standing there for a while.
You had 8 degrees? Lucky you.
Yeah.
Pretty basic stuff, but it's personnel. It just gives the chief
leeway
yeah, some
that's what I was thinking.
It creates policy. It doesn't mean that, you know, he or she
has to abide by it necessarily,
but
that it gives him,
it's there, and then you work with it. It's the foundation that then you build the rest of your program. And frankly, every chief, whoever they are, is probably going to look at this a little bit differently and implement things a little bit differently because personalities and experience and all those things. But it spells out. I mean, right now, someone wants to take a leave of absence. Do we kick them off the books? We don't. But this gives some direction for that stuff.
Is there Is there a limit to leave of absence length of time?
So this right above FMLA, there should be no more than length.
That's three members.
Three members. And I put three, that question mark. Don't know if that's a good number, not good number.
That'd be up to Nate, yeah.
Did we have?
I didn't see a limitation. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Oh, I thought there was. Maybe not personal. Any members absent two consecutive months?
I think there should
this
be.
This is obvious. The two consecutive months is different than like an attorney union.
Yeah, right.
Okay, just a
regular. That was for unexcused, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, fire chief will establish, maintain procedures for granting and administering leaves of absence for all members. So that's leaving, so kind of leaving there. It up to them to do it on a case by case basis.
Yeah, that would work. We would need to make sure the chief understood that. So that would be under the chief's duties, but we need to add that.
Right. Okay. FMLA, paid leave. So there is some paid leave options available if they meet criteria that the employees are contributing from their monthly check.
Unemployment.
Yeah, it's unemployment, but it's not unemployment.
Okay.
It's called paid leave Oregon. Mm-hmm. I know, it's on my mind. So that's a program that is available to them if they meet this criteria and have contributed via their paycheck each month.
And that's just paid it doesn't come out of our pocket,
correct.
It comes out of the government paid in okay.
Correct.
Got it. Do we need to have, sorry, this is a little bit off topic, but kind of on topic. When I was an employer, stuff like that had to be posted?
Yeah, there's all the rules posted over there.
We
got all the employment guidelines and rules. The big poster we got, it covers like 37 different things.
Exactly.
And that's what's required.
That everybody would know about paid leave.
Yeah, but it should. Well, I assume it's on that poster because that's what the state said you have to have posted.
Send out.
So, so we want notice if they're going to use this paid leave. But if they've got some really short notice stuff, gives them a little bit of flexibility.
Does everybody paid into paid leave, or is that a voluntary?
It's a choice.
Oh.
So only if you pay in, you can ultimately take out.
So are you given that choice?
At
who
hire,
gives you that choice? At hiring?
My understanding is, yeah. It must be on a form somewhere.
What form that would be
on? What's her name uses, Vicky uses to sign people up.
Because that would be...
I think that's worth asking, Nate, because... I'm curious what to make sure that that's being offered or as an.
I'm guessing Nate wouldn't have any idea. Do you know if you were when you got hired, whether or not you're contributing to paid leave, Oregon?
No.
You don't know, or you?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I feel like we just give her like social security numbers, date of birth, like I.
Well, she has to fill out a bunch of paperwork that goes to the state.
Maybe I'll ask Vicky.
Because she would be the one doing it, not. I mean, because of her. Payroll.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how the onboarding process has worked. I've been kind of part of it, kind of not, and I want to make sure that it's being done correctly.
Yeah, but it does have to be signed up.
Signed up.
But
I can't take.
So I guess where I'm going is if it hasn't been done correctly or it hasn't been asked correctly, I think we need to go back and ask our current employees and make sure that they have that option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
And remember, this is for FMLA, so these are Family Medical Leave Act criteria that. There's only certain ones that are eligible.
Right, a certain amount of hours worked, right?
Certain hours, but also certain events. Pregnancy or birth of a child, a few other death. I mean, there's a few things in there, but it's not just, I want to take leave.
Right, right. It's
and get paid for it. There's criteria that they have to, that the leave has to meet.
Got it.
And that's covered under the federal definitions.
Can we add that to the agenda for the February meeting? I'm not going to be here for, so... get
so
that addressed
I'll get answers before.
Okay. Emergency leave, again, just give some flexibility for the chief to, if they don't fit any of the other categories. Military leave, did that pretty basic, but just follow the law. I don't know if we have anyone currently active or reserve.
Reserves.
But, you know, we can't boot someone right. because no, they get sent away or go like 2 weeks or 2 days, weekend or whatever, so.
So the jury duty one, that's, we pay them, so is that, like, if it's summertime and they were signed up for shifts?
We would be paying them for their...
We would pay them anyway.
Yep. And then they have to return the jury fee to us.
To us, yeah.
I mean, which is what, $4?
So are we gonna,
$5?
Yeah, we're gonna backfill that
break
slot
the bank.
Then?
I guess that would be a scheduling situation
for
Nate.
For Nate.
But, yeah, but we're paying them to do their civic duty, essentially.
But the odds are on jury duty, given, hey, we only have five people and I am an EMT and they'll go.
Right. So we're going to miss maybe the one day of the initial check-in thing, and then they'll probably get...
Okay.
And they do their...
Until they get
their
on
sheet.
On the side trial.
We don't have a lot of those around here.
Yeah, but if you just say, they did it.
Not yet.
That we know about.
Recently, yeah.
Oh, that's true. It's increased.
Yeah, Carrie.
That we know about.
Got Alice Springs.
So here's one that we should look at. The bereavement. It says may grant a paid staff paid bereavement pay up but not exceeding 40 hours. Huh. Do we want to do that? Do we just want to be able to grant unpaid leave? Do we want to give them a little something?
Isn't it law that it's 3 days or something like that?
I'm not positive
I'm
if
not
it's
positive
law
either.
Or not, but
not
I mean, it's...
The 60 days could get spendy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for the fact that we are on a shoestring budget.
Well, that's unpaid.
Oh, that's unpaid. Where was the paid?
Just above it, under bereavement.
40 hours under bereavement.
So that's a week's worth of time off. Pre-scheduled time off. So if they weren't scheduled for whatever reason, then they wouldn't be getting compensated.
So they'd only get what they were scheduled within that 40-hour window? Or
40 hours? Say employee today comes in, says, you know, my dad died or whatever, I need to go to the funeral.
Yeah.
And they're going to be gone a week, but they're not on the schedule.
Yeah.
Okay, go.
Okay.
Not paying them for anything.
Yeah.
But
right.
if they were scheduled
right.
to work for 40 hours during the next 5 days or whatever, then this says we would compensate them for that missed time.
But is there any time limit on? Okay, I'm just.
You mean like days after?
Well, okay. Let's go with my dad died. I'm going to be gone for 4 months. Do they get paid all the way through those 40
Not
hours?
Not exceeding 40 hours.
No, the 40 hours is you're paid.
Well, bereavement pay is
limited.
Bereavement
right.
time isn't. Time off to go deal with family stuff. Bereavement is about the death, the funeral, and
Got
the recovery.
It. Okay.
And
so it's a short
mental health.
Yeah, short period, relatively short, usually a week to 2 weeks, not time off, but that time period.
Got it.
That can be taken because not every service is done the day after.
Yeah.
Or say if the service isn't going to be done for 6 months. In 6 months, we give them 2 days off paid to go be with the family in service.
Got it.
It's not 6 months off.
Yeah, I'm not against that. I just wonder if the 40 hours isn't stretching our shoestring budget a little
well,
bit.
Well, yeah, that does seem high.
Maybe 20 hours.
20 hours, which is still, I think, pretty...
It's still... and you could... Yeah, I mean, you're, what, 2.5 days of scheduled shifts.
Yeah.
But it's not like we have a lot of 40-hour guys. I mean, there's, like, probably a few that work their tails off hours-wise.
Right.
You know?
So I think 20 hours would be reasonable considering the nature of...
And we could definitely check in with Nate and see.
And remember the leave of absence limitations. Yeah.
Or even 24, that would be 3
yeah,
hours.
Three,
sorry,
yeah,
didn't
three
mean
three
that's
hours.
Good.
Hours
no, that's good.
Yeah.
It's
more of a...
You know, I understand what you're saying.
It's giving them something
totally.
To say.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
I'm just trying
get your head back on straight.
Trying to balance the teeter-totter.
Yeah.
So the leave of absence, we addressed this earlier, and it was up to the chief's discretion. And here we say 60 days, so I think that should be consistent.
What did we say before?
It was up to the chief to determine the length. And so this has a limit of up to 60 days.
So, I don't think we even need this one because we have it up above. I don't know why it's in there.
Well, it's under leave.
It's under leave of absence for, let's say they're in the National Guard or something.
We have
that would be
another
service one. We have that one.
Okay.
Under military reservists.
Okay.
So they, I think.
You had it up there where the three
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
No, go down.
Go down.
Right there, right there.
First.
You're really mouse. Wasn't it up there? I thought it was in that paragraph.
Yeah, request for personal leave
must be in
writing. Chief will establish.
Yeah. So I think that covers this. I mean, it says the same thing.
Well, then,
so I'm thinking,
does it have the 60 days up above?
No.
No, it has chief's discretion.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we just take this out.
Or
modify that one sentence.
Well, if it's already there, why have it?
Yeah, that's what I was
only my only thought of why having it is because we're going through the different types of leave, and that is a type of leave,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's kind of
okay.
Good to be,
but the language needs to be consistent
clear.
With
yeah.
what's earlier stated.
Agreed. I would just rather more clearness than less.
Reasonable?
At.
Discretion.
Zit.
Zit. His or her discretion.
And then discretion.
Discretion.
Let's see right now. Education leave. Grant paid or unpaid.
So,
what have we done in the past?
With education leave?
Yes. We don't
know. That's been
I don't think it's been
discussed. I mean, people go, it's, you've got, the past is fairly short as far as paid employees at this department. I mean,
okay.
We have like a little over 12 months of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, again, this puts it in the chief's ball court.
Yeah.
If it's about education to help their career or the assignment.
Right.
Then if he wants to pay him for it.
His or her discretion.
Discretion.
Yeah.
And we've given him that discretion on a whole host of other topics,
mm-hmm.
as long as it fits in his budget. And, you know, that's his responsibility.
But should he at least speak with the board about that? Or
I
are you going to give
him
open?
I think it's an HR thing, yeah.
Yeah, I think
we're
it's
really kind
thing.
Of supposed to be left out.
Yeah.
We're having to be way more involved in HR right now than any board should. I think after that, it's kind of supposed to be...
Uh-huh. Falls back on the chief.
On,
chief
yeah,
usually.
The staff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Such as it is.
As long as he stays within his budget. Now, if they're grossly misspending outside their budget, that becomes a board problem.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So this is the information security, which is something you guys passed back in July that doesn't exist because minis don't exist, but that's kind of my thought process on that. But without going that,
I was
there. But this is a dentist thing. So I don't know if you ever looked at this one because it's really long.
I did look at it and
I
my initial impression, and I want to talk to Nate. I didn't get around to doing that.
Okay.
About whatever we really have on the computers here. My first guess is 99.5% of this can go away.
Okay. Well, I'll leave that to you maybe to edit down to whatever.
I'll talk to Nate about what we actually
a lot of this
do
is,
and keep on the.
I think in a bigger department, it makes more sense.
I agree.
Yeah, because they're going to have their own systems.
Right.
I mean,
they talk about servers and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
their own databases and all the employee records are going to be digitized.
I feel like our information probably needs to be what's on the laptop. Stays on the laptop. It doesn't get deleted.
Yeah.
Right. But there are some.
And that's a good one to be in there.
Yeah, no, it needs to be.
I mean,
passwords and
email.
I mean, there's some stuff, but whatever. I mean, I'm suggesting we defer to Dennis to come up to edit that down because, I mean, this is like 10 pages long or something.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, this is very comprehensive. This is kind of like the policy from the prisons. I mean, everything had to be,
Okay, we're going to go to the operations section next, but before we do, a couple of our policies, including this one, there is a form documentation that's included that employee would sign saying, I received this specific policy, and then that's written down and then put in their file. So they read it, they know what it is, so we can have that. So there's that option, and there's like three or four different policies that have that need. Or do we defer to the overall policy manual and they sign, yes, I received and understand what's in this policy manual?
I don't think it needs to be the entire manual.
Well, I think that would is easy to do. I mean, then you do it and it's once and they're responsible for everything.
Yeah, and I was going to lean that way too. Here's the manual, read it. Sign this form when you're done. I mean,
and in the orientation, the chief can point out certain ones that, you know, really pay attention to these.
Yeah.
But if you sign it for everything, then it's a blanket. Yeah, if we only have them do two or three or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're not responsible for those policies, but this is, I think, a little more.
But then they have, well, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What we could do is have a couple policy manuals that they could take home and then their next training day have completed reading and then require them
to sign.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So this then, the last page of this, which is in the original disregard, because that's what that is specifically for, the information one. All right. Operations. So moving into operations. So this is an area that really needs more attention from the fire chief and the EMS chief. In fact, there's an EMS section I have in here that is blank because I don't know what they're doing or if Don's looked at anything or whatever. So, but these are some other ones that are a little more generic that I put in there that seem to make sense, that give, again, some structure to the operations side of the business. How to establish procedures, property inventory, how we assign property. So there would be a form for signing out the property if someone's getting whatever it is, whether it's a laptop or a phone or a, I mean, but in property, I don't know if we have a definition in here, but what do we mean by property? In the state of California, it was a dollar amount that it went to, and it wasn't property below, I forget, the value of the item, I think $500. It wasn't technically property. But there, property was tracked and inventoried, and, you know, but they're talking about vehicles and you know, big stuff. So that, there's some, I think, a lot of wiggle room. But if we are giving things out to our staff, and some of these things may not...
There's assigned property, and then there's some property that is purchased with the intent it never comes back.
Right.
So that needs to...
What would that be?
Shirts.
Yeah, shirts.
Well, uniforms are a whole other category.
But yeah.
Okay.
That's not right. But
I think that, having some kind of...
Mm-hmm. We need some kind of tracking.
There, yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah, it's tracking. It's so we get the stuff back and who has what, and then if they leave, you're responsible to give this back to us.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That's some examples of items. Camcorders probably isn't relevant so much anymore.
Maybe we don't want the video back on that.
I just donated my camcorder to Goodwill the other day. I had one from 2000. Still worked pretty good.
I think in there, hand tools.
Yeah, I mean, this is not an exhaustive list. It's just a
general. General. Just, i.e.
Then records, so there's a document and it goes into their file. Use of the property, they should only be using it for district stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure in the past that a vehicle here or a trailer there or whatever might have been used for personal, possibly, don't know, but possibly. That shouldn't be allowed unless it's authorized by the chief for some particular reason or the board, you know. So this just says you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So it gives some, again, guidelines.
Having it clearly written.
So I don't know if we want to have them do a property annual property inventory. I mean, it's a pain in the butt, but it is, I think, important because it does tell you where that generator is or
I think,
isn't.
So I'm in agreement with you, Dave.
But
and we're going to go to a real quick example. A FEPS generator at our house. Nate had no idea that was even at our house. And it's a 20K. It's a
right,
huge generator.
Because it was
no,
brought
he
in
has
under
no that, property list here.
Right.
The FEPS guy said, oh, yeah, we need to go check that generator. And he had no idea where it's at.
Right.
Because the friends asked us to put it there. So there, I agree with you.
Yeah, especially
because
the big stuff. And we can put it at dollar value.
In and, out and people moving in and out, there needs to be a
mm-hmm.
yeah.
list.
Yeah, a way to kind of go.
And I think a yearly
oh, we have one of those?
And if we do have paid firefighters, or frankly even EMS staff, that aren't actively out on calls, that is an assignment that they can do.
Like during the summer.
During
OFSM
the summer
ranting.
Or when,
yeah,
whenever.
Totally.
Because,
yeah.
it, I mean, it's inventory, right? And who likes to
do
inventory?
No
one, but.
We don't have enough of it.
No, it's not going to take that long.
Right.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
won't take
it's
that
really
long.
It's really like, hey, Dennis, is that generator still there? Can we come take a look at it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Now, again, California and maybe Oregon too, probably you guys, you had property numbers on these pieces
yeah.
of property, and those were tracked that way.
Yeah.
That's how the FEPS deal works too.
That's a yeah. It's I mean, we could go there, but that's a lot more work. You got to get special little stickers and stuff.
Yeah, those
I think we just
nice.
Label
yeah.
it with whatever description.
Yeah. Description and serial number. Yeah.
Do we want a dollar value for the item to where we are? You know, we're not going to look at every hand tool, right?
Yeah.
So what's the dollar value of this equipment that we want to make sure?
Over 500.
Well, because I think we need to inventory radios. And
well, radio should be anyway,
yeah.
right?
Okay.
That's
so what,
those
so,
are thousands of dollars, but.
But even like a laptop can be under 500 nowadays. So
that's right.
So I would say valued over a dollar amount and or that are serial numbered.
Yeah,
so that would cover
yeah,
okay.
serial number. That's
yeah.
good. Yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want? I mean, we don't have to do the dollar value. We can just say serial numbered.
I well, not everything
prefer
can have serial number.
No, I think
so.
Like 200, 250. I mean,
yeah.
we don't want to inventory our tripods, you know, but like we definitely need inventory all electronics and.
Yeah, 250. Yeah, I think, or 200. I mean.
Yeah, I think we're.
Or serial number.
Or serial.
Or are serial numbered.
Yeah, because then that way radios and all that's covered.
That's not right, but...
it'll come up.
It'll come up. Thank God.
Huh. S-E-R.
Right-click on it.
I am. It doesn't like it.
You just spelled it so bad that it won't even...
Yeah, it
yeah.
doesn't even know,
I do
doesn't
that
even know where to look at.
I am very
or,
good at
or
that.
Have serial yeah, numbers
no.
on them.
Yeah, just serial numbered.
Serial number. There
number.
You go. It's a
there, it likes that.
Nice
<Where's>
job.
Do we want to put a time period that it should annually should be done every, pick a month?
Well,
I mean,
so
we should do it. We should spell out a month.
It's hard. So, to me, the winter's slower, so it'd make more sense. But we usually have OSFM staffing in the summer.
Right.
But we won't necessarily always have that grant. So that's a Nate. I feel like that's a Nate question.
Okay. The best time to. But I think we should say it
oh,
should
yeah,
be done.
It should be done between this month and this
the
month.
First, by it, during the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, unless Nate wants to utilize
yeah,
OSM
like
staffing
that.
Time.
Okay.
Right.
We'll hold
so,
off on that.
Yeah, that's say, a Nate.
Because there may be things they want to take
is,
off the trucks and you want to do that in the summer when you could have them pulled out.
And it's a great. It is a great use of OSFM staffing time.
It is. And it really helps with that differentiation between
yes,
the volunteer and
yep.
the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
All right. Equipment operation. So this is an equipment. I think of equipment as tractors and bulldozers, but this is everything that moves, essentially. So it's giving some guidelines who should do it and who shouldn't do it, proper training, et cetera. And then if there's accidents, call it collision. Technically, it's not an accident.
Now, on the driving thing, I believe, because this is including our firefighting rigs, right? Our
yeah.
rigs. Our
all
rigs, Type
yeah.
6. I believe we have more specific policy regarding equipment operation.
Okay, if we do, then
there's a step program.
You're this type, because
you have to be certified on each vehicle. Like, it's not just like you're certified, you can drive all those rigs out there.
Well, that's what it says.
Oh, did I
provide adequate training on each piece of equipment to be operated and tested on said equipment?
Can you write a note that we talked to Nate on that one? I just think there's like a form that he, like,
There's something more to training based on type. There is specific training.
Right.
And that just says you have to be tested and trained on that.
Because I don't know, what do we have? Do we have anything with air brakes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's
air brakes, it's weight, not air brakes, that is the licensee brake. You can have air brakes.
Maybe
Oregon's different. California, it's not air brakes themselves, it's the GVW that means you have to have a special
license. Some places, when you put an air brake on it, now you have to have special training because you have to test the air brakes and
all that. I know in California don't, and if they don't do it, I can't
believe anyone. Well, yeah.
I could be completely wrong here, but I believe we do that here. I believe you have to be taught how to operate a vehicle with air brakes.
Yeah.
All the different types. That came up in this last year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It sure did.
All right. Driver's license, got to have one?
Yep.
Well... It's a requirement of employment here.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what this is saying?
No, it says to operate.
Oh. Well,
wouldn't that be this?
It is requirement of the district for employment.
Okay.
You need a driver's license and you need.
But he's just being redundantly clear that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That to operate a piece of equipment. No, I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure we have it somewhere else in our employment thing that you're required to have.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. There was just a sentence.
The multiple
just brings back memories.
Then just talks about.
It was to be used in official business only.
Yeah.
Making that.
And company vehicles, same thing.
Don't give ride to hitchhikers. Yeah. Please don't.
Well, you know, some people you have to tell these things to.
I think that under company vehicles, the second paragraph should be bold.
Second, yeah.
Which one?
Sentence?
Starting with
second sentence.
When the official vehicle, business only. The
official business.
Here?
Yeah. No, above.
Above.
The sentence above that.
Oh,
when it starts with when. There you go.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
Huh?
So you don't stop at the local restaurant, bar.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
XYZ.
I mean, that's just basic government business stuff. But so apparatus startup, that's kind of based on the OSHA stuff.
Yep.
So that just puts it into policy. Mm-hmm. What should be done.
Uh-huh.
You notice the last sentence, all persons in the building should be notified it's happening and they can go outside if they want.
Oh, this is part of that.
But we're not requiring them to go out.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need any type of fan for that. The doors were sufficient.
No, we're good. But that just kind of adds.
Yeah.
Vehicle
safety. Especially since we're asking new employees to read this, then they're going to know.
Right. Do we log mileage? I put that.
We have not.
Do should I just take this out? I mean, if we don't have
one. Is it on the electronic inspection form for vehicles that they record the mileage?
For the ambulance, yeah.
Okay.
But that's not logging out each day. That's
no.
For an inspection, right?
No, it's after every run we go on, we have to log how many miles.
Right,
on it.
But it's not. That's not
it's
at the
not
end of the day.
That's
you wrote. You drove 500 miles in one day. That was for the run itself.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what this is: a logbook starting
day,
mileage one, ending mileage 400.
So put a start here for Nate because Nate has this. He's got an app for it, so we need to put. for those last two lines there. He's got a...
Okay. We don't have anything about uniforms, a policy, but that I know of. Again, there may be stuff, practice, but we...
Right,
nothing
verbal,
I've seen.
Verbal versus written is
what is it? Is our uniform policy?
Yeah,
I don't know.
We should come.
We
need to develop that.
I
mean, I can write something, but I don't know what the practice
right,
has been.
We just
or,
need to talk to Nate.
Another Nate.
Yeah. Another Nate question.
Nate. And Nate has brought that up in the past that he would like a more scheduled, and maybe this is a good spot to put, but a more scheduled uniform ordering time frame, you know, fall and spring kind of thing, going in winter so that anyone has
yeah that can be built right into here yeah.
Shirts, long sleeves,
that
yeah.
should probably go under
I mean,
inventory part of it too.
I noticed she isn't wearing our fancy District 3 hat.
No, I don't have one.
Out of compliance.
You didn't get one?
Mm-hmm. Is that the box up there of them? The brown one?
There shouldn't be a shell of them.
I don't know where everyone got them. I was like, where'd you get that?
That old man.
It's the brown one underneath it, isn't it?
He's going to correct it right now.
There you go, man.
Thank you.
And so somebody else is missing one. There are in this brown box.
So we can spell that out pretty easy.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
just it needs to be
you
decided.
Brim.
I gotta you know make your adjustments.
No
flat brims.
That's
no flat brims.
No,
I hate flat brims.
It is something
looks
that's
stupid.
Been brought up because uniform
and no pulling it down over your ear.
Okay. That can all be put into the policy.
I
right.
think consistent uniforming.
And yeah. pants must be around the waist.
Well, that's redundant. Consistent uniform.
Consistent uniform means consistent. It's a noun. There's two different things. Exactly, it's a noun, not a noun. I don't know anything about that grammar stuff. It just means obviously uniform means the same. All right, moving on.
Employee training. Oh, did you have something?
No, I was laughing. I wanted to say something, but I'm not going to while we're recording.
So, employees and volunteers, necessary training, maintain, I mean, as determined by the chief. So, it's pretty basic. There's stuff that could probably be added in here. What the other specific things that they need to have each year. But...
Yeah, I'm sure Nate and Dawn...
Yeah, so a lot of this...
And the annual, that's January... is when they do that.
Okay. I don't know, you know, we need to have that written out and then I can include it in here. Or told, not necessarily written.
Okay, so training records are 5-year retainment. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that after or 5 years after training? After employment ceases?
That, 5 years. I think you just keep it for 5 years, whether they're in bit here or not. That way you're safe. Doesn't hurt to keep stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to keep it.
Cammy, this is in response to your comment last time. So that's my wording. I don't know if that's the right wording for ready to perform, but that
responding to an emergency is to be prepared to assist and fully equipped.
Oh, now I read that sentence correctly. Okay.
Remember, you said people showing up at a scene not ready to work. Or being capable for one reason or another.
My biggest concern with this, Dave, and I'll spell it out as delicately as I can, is that an individual would show up to a scene not wearing PPE gear, and the person responsible to make sure that people were wearing PPE gear was letting it slide.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, let's say we have an incident on a fire, and that person gets hurt, and they're not wearing PPE gear, and the chief did not make sure that that person was. Now the board is liable.
Yeah.
So at what point does how do we spell that out? That if chief is on scene, like is that as spelled out as we can?
Well,
the highest ranking member.
Yeah, okay. Whoever's in charge.
Okay.
I mean, that's always who's gets
that's
in trouble.
That's the buck stops.
But this pushes it onto the employee first.
Yeah.
But if the chief inappropriately directs someone to do something that violates policy, then, because that would be violating policy.
Letting it slide continually would be violating.
Just to allow that person to be there, violates the policy. So
okay.
Now a chief's in violation of policy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Or whoever the incident commander was.
Glad that's in there. Highlighted in yellow.
Confined space. So this is as OSHA defines it. Pretty, well, it's what, how OSHA does it, so there's not really any argument.
What is this regarding? I mean, I know what the
confined space has to be defined for a, for an agency.
Okay, because
employees can't go into a confined space.
When they're fighting fire.
When they're doing anything. So, well, you know, you got a
I mean, a bathroom is a confined, what are we talking about?
No, it has
underwater
to be
confined,
confined
space,
so,
a vault.
A vault, a big know. Hole in the ground.
Yeah.
That you go
we're
in
talking
and it's
about,
not
like,
supported.
On an incident.
Well, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But,
understood.
I mean, the definition is goes everywhere.
Yeah.
But a bathroom isn't because it's not covered under this.
Like a trench, a vault,
yeah.
Like a septic vault.
A cave.
So don't drop one of our employees into the septic vault to inspect it.
Or to rescue
and if
someone.
We do,
yeah,
don't
it's
tell
more,
anybody.
More about rescue. Someone
it's
falls into
rescue.
A cave,
okay. Yeah. Oh,
or
okay, okay.
A vehicle goes in a
that.
Weird spot, and you
yeah.
can't, you know,
yeah,
we don't want people going into places they can't get themselves out totally. Safely.
Got it.
And there's a formal definition of what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Communicable disease exposure. I just said they report it to the chief immediately. And they'll follow whatever our exposure response plan is, which I think supposedly we have one. Do we, Cassie, if someone gets exposed at a medical scene to a communicable, potentially a communicable disease, what's your procedure?
We have to, like the patient has a disease or?
Say an AIDS, HIV positive.
Yeah, someone's
so
there and there's some blood around and you may have been exposed.
Or you get stuck
like,
by
you got
like
blood on
blood
you.
Got in my cut.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You go to the hospital and then you would irrigate the wound as much as you can and you would have to get tested right then.
Is yeah,
there
about
a
reporting?
Yeah, what about reporting?
To chief or to who?
Yeah,
to
I
chief.
Would tell.
Well,
EMS
coordinator
side
okay.
of it.
Okay. Does the hospital, do you know, have some kind of then, I don't know, paperwork, for lack of a better word,
I,
that they.
I believe they do.
Yeah,
okay.
It'd be. Not
so this
on
is
job
a,
exposure.
This is a starred spot for Dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one too, EMS guidelines. I don't know. That's a Dawn thing, but we need to have something in there about.
Yeah.
I know I had talked to one of the ambulance drivers at one point, and they were, and I forget because it was at a party, so don't remember everything. However. There was some Yale advanced life support versus base life support where
yeah.
transfers happened
yeah.
and some different things that they were bringing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of put that in the back. I'm not suggesting we know anything about that right now to put in here, but we need to
yeah.
get that
spelled
out.
I know what you're talking about. It has to do with, yeah.
And there's probably some other items in there
yeah, that's definitely
that need to get ironed out policy-wise.
Yeah.
All right. Hazard.
Well, shouldn't there also be, there should be a portion in there under that, under communicable disease incidents, should also have something about certification, maintenance, documentation of specialized training, EMS training. So there needs to be a lot of things in there.
Under the communicable disease?
Under policy EMS guidelines.
Oh yeah, that there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that, but I don't know what.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah,
they
Dawn
need
name.
To be.
Dawn,
I would
Dawn.
Assume Dawn has maybe
yeah,
something you've already
and
written.
And I can
or,
pull Schmaltz too, just to see.
Yeah, I couldn't. Didn't see anything when I was looking, but
oh,
maybe
I
you
have
access.
I have their I policies.
Oh, okay. I just meant online. I didn't see anything, but
if you go to our BOD drive,
it's on
Schmaltz
there.
Policies are in our drive.
Okay. Well, I think
but,
Dawn really should
yo,
say
totally.
What we need.
Yeah,
I agree.
And so I don't piss them off by creating
yeah.
something and having
yeah,
them
yeah.
getting pissed
yeah,
off.
Yeah, we don't need that.
You're good at that.
I am good at that, and I'll do it. But all right, hazardous material response. So another requirement for a fire department is to have a hazardous material response plan. Nate
it's
has to
bigger than your thumb. You're too close.
Nate has to.
Right.
It's got to be a little more detailed. Now. But Nate has to review this, and I talked to him briefly the other day when we were going over to Bonanza to take a look at this and give some feedback. So this is, I forget where I got it, but it's a start. It's not the end.
Well, there should be the necessary training exercise. It should be to meet certain standards. So there's operations level, there's awareness level, there's technician level. So I think that the recruitment by the board of directors, everybody on this department needs to be trained, including the board of directors. up to awareness level, and then people who are actually physically responding out in the field, we need to get an operations level certification.
Yeah, I don't think there is operational level here. Nate said no. If they have it, they're calling the hazmat team, which is out of Medford.
So
secure the scene and keep people away.
Exactly, and which that's awareness says, level.
That's awareness.
This says that level. Essentially, but with a lot more.
Yeah, we need to put awareness level on there because that minimum awareness level.
This was a plan from some other agency.
So
Nate needs to, again, a lot of this is operation, so it's Nate. Yeah. I hate to dump stuff on him, but it's kind of.
From our standpoint, that first bullet point said, determined by the board, and that would be awareness level. Uh-oh. All, and I think the board should go through it as well. All, it's a 8-hour awareness levels, and either four, have you had it recently? Is it 4 or 8 hour training, awareness level?
I did operations and awareness together, and it was 4 days.
That's operations, yeah.
Yeah, 4 8-hour days, and then I think the operations, I can't remember how long it was.
Because I was a technician, I mean, we had to do it annually.
Okay, so that, we agreed, is a area that has to be worked on. Moving on, special rescue situations. So this is something from the OSHA guy that we had to spell out that who is going to help us for if we're not capable of doing a special rescue, who do we call? And I put in adjacent agency with District 1 as the primary assistant agency. So that has to be in our plan or in our policy saying, employees need to know who you call when you can't do the job. Instead of trying to figure it out.
Thinking on your feet. Know what.
Yeah.
Okay, just to let everybody know, for some reason, the system went dead, but it's back now. So okay. I don't know.
Hopefully that was during most of it. You're making fun of me. That'd be good. All right. Now getting into some other generic policy topics, media contacts. Putting in policy that the fire chief talks to the media. Nobody else does unless fire chief says they should. Pretty basic. Or the board, but I mean on staff. Maintenance. Everyone should be doing maintenance. We don't have a separate maintenance division, so everyone, picking up trash, putting stuff away, whatever.
Hold on, go back to the media, please.
Oh, okay.
So, in this specific section, media, like when JPR called the other day wanting a comment on our ethics, but is that...
So a staff member shouldn't be doing that.
The staff, yeah, but like us as a board of directors, being as it's an individual complaint, that's a different... Like we can comment on our own investigation, or does that need to be referred to Nate?
That's our own investigation. Okay. So individually, yes, you can comment on whatever you want. We can defer... I mean, the board supersedes the chief.
Understood.
Mm-hmm. So the board can... Okay. Talk about, we can have our own policy for the board, about, right. Which we do, I thought.
I don't know.
Who talks to the media, essentially? Right. I think the president says who should talk to the media when it comes up.
Yeah, and that definitely needs to be addressed.
A district representative, not an individual response.
Right, okay.
Yeah. What we're trying to minimize is staff talking to the media without proper guidance.
Gets out of hand real quick.
Joe Blow just walking up and going.
Especially in like an event, like bootleg or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, oh my God, we didn't do whatever. Yeah.
No.
All right, then, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, typically at any incident, there should be a one person selected.
Exactly. And if it's a multi-agency thing, I mean, that's public information officer kind of stuff. This is kind of more generic with
our district.
The district. Yeah. I mean, if it's an incident, I doubt we're going to have
We shouldn't a PIO. Be talking anyways, even our chief. That's going to be a...
Because it's going to be a multi-thing, and whoever the bigger dog is going to probably have it.
We might be a part of
the Joint Information Center or something, so we're getting information about our area, so the bigger picture. But all right, so maintenance, again, pretty basic, but just everyone chip in, and anyone identifies hazards... tell their boss. added the safety committee, which we've already started, but it puts it into policy mm-hmm. and what it needs to be done.
Good.
So good. I added tailgate safety meetings. I haven't talked to Nate about this. So we're not required to have safety meetings and a safety committee. They're two different things.
Oh.
But tailgate safety meetings aren't quite safety meetings. They are brief, gather people around. We're going to talk about proper lifting today.
Okay.
Bend your knees, pick up close to your body, don't twist. That's a meeting, right?
Yeah.
I gave Nate about 400 tailgate safety meeting topics.
Okay.
That he can pull out, and anytime he has a training or a staff meeting or anything, it's just good to
throw it out.
Just throw it out. I mean, there's stuff in there about probably paper cuts, right? Maybe not relevant. And then there's stuff that's going to be relevant to him. So, as I said, lasts more, no more than 10 or 15 minutes. I think they're important because it keeps people on their toes, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
But if Nate's totally against this or something, then we can remove this. That's fine. That's my suggestion.
So how do we have a safety committee without having safety meetings? I don't understand how those two can exist without
it. It's weird, together. Right? So the safety committee meets, discusses a variety of potential safety issues.
They write a safety meeting?
They have a committee meeting.
Oh, that's
okay. But it's not a safe. So safety
meetings with staff.
Is
safety meeting
is
and
training,
safety committee
yeah.
are two different things for OSHA. A committee, you get a group of people. They mm-hmm. have to meet once a month, and they have an agenda. It's a committee. It's essentially a subgroup of the board. And they have to keep their minutes and the agenda and what they talked about.
Does that have to be publicly noticed?
No, I don't think that one
we
does.
We better double check that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't, but I'll double check.
I mean, I don't see why it would, but...
But they write up their findings for the meeting, their agenda, and have to have that posted for the staff to review. They
okay.
don't have to tell the staff anything about it, which
right.
is the weird part.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know. I don't get it, but that's the rules.
Okay.
And there's actually a series of trainings. I did the first one, and the other ones are going to be coming up. And I got to get Nate and the other committee members to be on it because they have to. There's investigation. How to investigate an employee injury or accident, and that's part of the safety committee's job.
Mm-hmm.
Someone gets hurt, they do an investigation, and so they have to go through this training in order to be qualified to do it.
Okay. Who picks the safety committee?
The chief.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think he has three or four people on it from his staff. Him.
So
and,
they more mm-hmm. report to the chief, not necessarily the board, then?
They only, yes.
They only report to the chief.
Correct.
Okay, so I doubt it needs to be public, because the only
yeah.
time that I, in the training, that I could understand that a meeting needed to be publicly noticed is if we formed a committee, if the board formed a committee and that committee had to report to us, those
right.
committee meetings would have to be publicly noticed.
That's correct.
Yeah.
yeah.
But if you're only reporting to the chief.
Yeah, they're just.
It's
that's,
more of a staff.
It's all staff.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Emergency evacuation.
Bathroom's so old.
Basic stuff, but, you know, it's in here. Get out of the building. political activity shouldn't do any, but it's in policy. Outside district operations. So this is an area that, again, Nate and or Don, but I guess probably both of them, because Don has experience about outside stuff, how we work with other
mutual aid
kind of stuff. You probably saw that email he sent out yesterday or something about Forest Service, so I guess put that on the agenda for next month, but that seems pretty reasonable to me. But so this is kind of boilerplate stuff from another agency, but I don't know how it works. So whether any of this is really relevant or not, I don't know. So that's
let's take a look at it real quick.
What he needs to.
Okay, so that does that fall under Nate too?
Yes, this
pretty
is all
much,
operations
yeah.
is all Nate and or Don as the EMS guy.
All right,
but this is kind of more of a starting point for him to say, well, no, or
okay.
tweak this. But it's important policy wise,
right?
But it's just
no, I agree.
Whether there's fees, I don't know. And then billing for outside services, I don't know if we do that. Again, it's a Nate thing. when we go outside our district, do we, can we bill? Can we not? I don't know.
There's a, should be a statewide MOBAC that covers the billing and payments.
Yeah.
Well, that for like a big fire, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking just for a small vehicle accident out on 140 outside the district, and they call us to go deal with it. Do we bill them?
Nate wants to start.
Okay.
In the past, this department never has, but it is a billable service.
Okay, so we just need to know what that is and put it in here that we do that. I mean, we don't have to have every
detail. Nate definitely wants to work on it, so that's perfect.
Look at that. And then that's the end of this. Any additional policies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think
there's probably stuff out there we should have some organization of, but that's, again,
this is
more
definitely
of
a lot more than we've ever had, and it's think it's a really good start for the
right
operations. It's
somewhere to build from,
and that needs to come from
operations.
Yeah.
I agree, but
people who know it,
but I mean, he's kind of overworked and understaffed and everything, so I'm trying to give something to
if he
edit more than have to create, and that to me that's always easier than starting.
And maybe Don and Don have an EMS. I know they were doing a similar situation up in Chabot that we're doing right now.
Okay.
So maybe they formed one that he can just edit for this department.
Right.
Okay, well, that's all that I have there. The other item that we maybe talk offline is the nominal fee. We should probably jump on that issue. Nominal fee for volunteer firefighters?
Do you want to just talk about that at a regular board meeting, or is
I think
policy?
You and I said we would meet with Nate. We'll figure out what we want to propose for that program, which then would be turned into policy.
Do you want all that in the minutes?
Right. Right now, no. But I'm saying that we need to come up with.
It does. You're right. It needs to be addressed sooner than later.
Yes.
Especially with staffing coming up and.
So I'd suggest we get together soon to.
Yeah, let's just have coffee and.
Yeah, I started a little bit of rough, guidelines, but not.
Spencer's out of the picture now, so.
Yeah, so I think we're.
I think we can just call it a stipend and.
Nominal fee.
Nominal fee is a stipend.
I know, but the feds call it that, so I say we stick.
Oh, is that what? Because the fire chief's book calls it both. Well, they.
They call it the nominal fee in that book.
They say stipend, and then they say, but it has to be a nominal fee.
Yeah, I.
Because nominal fee is a percentage.
We can arm wrestle on that later.
Let's do it.
Should we adjourn this meeting?
I had for the policies that we have. So I suggest we have one more of these workshops in early February.
Okay.
To kind of go back over stuff that we haven't.
Okay.
Let's just round it out and finish it up and be ready.
And then figure in March, because he'll be back.
I would like all of us to be here for the ratifying the,
And that would give probably a month for editing and stuff and get it back out to you in electronic form.
And I mean, even once we've accepted it, we can always make changes.
Anytime.
Yeah, no, we can. It would just be nice to get it done in March. And then do you want me to reach out to Don? Are you reaching out to Nate to reach out? Do you want me to reach out to Don?
Or you and Nate, Don, whatever.
I'll call Don and see what EMS.
We want to make sure we do is we format it in such a way that if we make a policy change, we only have to change one page or.
Yeah.
So
there's the way you number them and the way you chapter them.
So what I was going to recommend is, again, this is from my previous work, is so you have your manual, right? All 4,002 pages. For a change, it's called a departmental or district notice. So this notice changes policy number 1121.
Amendment.
Amendment, change, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
And then that says what it is. So say we're changing the bereavement from 24 hours to 40 hours. This notice changes policy number, whatever it is, from 24
so
hours.
So you didn't go and actually manually change
you don't
manual.
Have to do that. That's a, so this that document is in the front of the manual. You if you have a hard copy, you go in and you make a note, by the way, see manual notice number one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And that way, until it's in, and it's valid until incorporated or valid until it expires. Okay. Some notices might expire because it's for whatever reason.
So or incorporate. When we decide to rewrite the manual, then we
incorporate those. Yeah. So it's a pretty simple way. And then you just have a log sheet for each one. So it's pretty easy to know. You can just look down there. Okay, I'm looking at policy X. Look down the log sheet. Is there any notices on policy X? So that's the way I would recommend it. Then you don't have to go back and change. Because there's going to be, 6-10 manuals out there. Mm-hmm. You just have to make sure they get a page. Whoever has the manual gets this page and the notice, and they put it in
there. Right.
So that'd be my suggestion.
Okay. And
it's worth
that makes sense.
Yeah, because we're going to have quite a bit of these printed up.
Right.
Yes.
But we have to have it, which is in policy, we know who they has them and not just printed up and sent out randomly because...
Yeah, no, there needs to be a property sign out sheet essentially.
Yes.
Who's got policies.
Yeah. So if there is a change, that manual that gets changed as well.
Everybody gets the change sheet.
So everybody gets it.
Will we be posting this on the website?
Well, what I think we need to do...
The policy?
I think we need to...
require to?
But I think we should and ask for written public...
Okay.
Comment.
Let me. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Anything we put on that website now has to be under federal formatted standards, and they are a pain in the fucking ass.
To try to get this entire.
I can't even hardly get an agenda up there without failing the process.
Okay.
So trying to get a 90-page policy manual.
Yeah,
because
our document that. The application that doesn't pass. I mean,
is it mostly font style?
No, it's all very hidden headers. Every header has to have a sub
formatting
to it, and the headers, all your heading one, heading two, heading three. If I go heading five, it fails because it didn't have a heading four.
And that's their template.
It's the federal.
It's just.
Some weird federal law that passed.
So
there are videos on YouTube that describe the process that this guy, lots of videos this guy goes through to say how to fix this crap.
That's our government.
But it's pretty.
So maybe we just say policy
ridiculous.
Manuals.
We could post one at the library.
Yeah, good idea.
Or I was going to say they're available for review at the station, just like our minutes.
Just put that in the website. Can you do that? Just say if you're interested in, reviewing
the public. And they may not be removed. But I would have one at the library. I would have one here.
Yeah.
And
for public.
There you go.
Public review and inspection. Written comments.
We need to find out before we go there. We need to talk to OGAC and find out if we allow written comments for that. I don't want to open up any other can of worms, so we need to make sure that we're doing that section to whatever meeting standard they have. But that, hopefully I get this, getting OGAC on this training has been really difficult, but that's a question for May. Then we could, because we will probably, May's probably by the time we get them all printed, right? If we're going to get them in March.
Yeah, I would think April that we should be able to
get them printed.
By the April meeting, we should be able to get
them. So if we take an OGAC training at the beginning of May, then we should be able to ask
questions.
Can we take public comment strictly on our policy manual but nothing else?
Why would we want public comment?
Why would we want what?
Public comment.
On our policies.
On our policies.
Because it's about them.
Well, no,
no,
it's
about,
not about them.
It's about the
ultimately, it's how it's run
and the
and
employees
work for them. So,
right. So then, if you allow public comment,
but comment doesn't mean change. Comment means
comment.
Hearing.
Hearing.
And that gives buy-in to the community.
And we have control. I mean, that's our option.
It needs to be written.
But we need to let's talk to OGAC about that. Make sure we're following ORS's correctly on how we. That intake process.
Is there a way to electronically send something that can't be printed or changed?
You can lock it so it can't be changed. I'm not sure you can block it from being printed.
Okay. So I was thinking if we could send electronically.
I know NFPA standards are that way, and you can't. Yeah, you have to buy it. You have to buy a copy.
Oh yeah. Let me research.
Yeah, I was thinking if someone wanted it emailed.
If we could send them, but they
if it's so restricted that they can't do it, they can read it
and
make their comments.
And it's going to be a huge file.
But I don't know if that's even...
Yeah, it's going to be huge.
Huge file.
It's all text, though, so it's not... I mean,
not
that is...
It's
no.
not that big.
I mean, it's just, yeah, there's no pictures.
I don't know. My...
I know that NFPA does it, so you can't print it, you can't cut and paste, you right. can't copy it, and
you can
print.
Only you can read
you
literally
can
read,
read
only,
and that's it.
Yeah. If there's a way to do that easily, then maybe that's an option.
And those,
to the
those may be
three
options
people that
available
want it.
In the formatting process. I'll have to look.
Okay. Or just make them go to the library or come here.
Well, that's where I'm at. I was like, you know, if by law we're allowed or legally required to have our minutes here to evaluate, but we're not. I don't know.
Well, the policy,
if you want to come see our policies, come down to the station. Or the
and that's written in there that it will be available for public review. So that is part of our policy is they are available.
I just don't think we need to like totally overthink how we need to email. It's not like 100 people are going to be asking for this.
And I doubt too many people are going to read most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Even the employees or the new.
How many of us have read all of it?
Well,
But I'm being serious. I mean, not too many members of the public are going to start getting into the minutiae of this stuff because it's mind-numbing.
Yeah.
It is.
Even for us that are doing it.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
So I make a motion we adjourn the meeting.
Second?
The motion.
Roll call.
At what time?
At 11:31, Dennis Warden.
Thank you.
Yes.
Dave Matthews.
Yes.
Gary Garreau.
Yes.
Cameron.
Yes.
Duncan. Danitson, yes. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah, for some reason this thing went
dead. Who's picking up the mail out of the post office?
Nate, I've got to keep it. It's in my truck, which
is down
at the shop.
We've been saying these workshops, we're not
taking care of that.
Making decisions or whatever.
I'll get you my key.
But being that this is a public meeting, why can't we make decisions?
And you're... You know,
it's
you take off
people
here and
are invited.
I'm always home.
Yeah.
It's a special
no
meeting.
No vacations for me.
Yeah, it is a special meeting.
Yeah, we're not every month.
I think we're...
I think March 3rd.
I mean, I'm not saying
we'll
we should. I'm saying I don't think we need to...
Yeah, I do know what that is.
April, we have a raft trip.
Because we are making decisions.
In Oregon.
Well, yeah, but we're not making...
Raft trip. Oregon,
we're not approving anything.
We're not voting on anything. We're not making motions.
Yeah, during the summer.
And I think there's a distinction there. I have to go back.
Okay. Maybe Cameron does. Because it just seems like this is a...
August, we're here.
It is
a formal meeting.
It is a regular public meeting.
I
did
figure out that.
But it is not...
October... The trip is
considered a board meeting.
Northern Oregon.
That makes any sense.
Right, it's not
December
a regular board meeting.
Oh, October we're going to be in Idaho, Kansas,
December
is too
damn
Texas.
Cold to be rafting.
Oh, no. Well, actually,
so they got snow on the beaches in Florida.
I saw all that.
I laugh my ass off because my cousin, she sends me a picture of this snow in Florida, right? I said, hey, you know, Chris just flew through.